Well, good morning, good morning. You excited to be in the house of the Lord today? I'm excited to be here. Some of y'all are yawning from Friday. For those who don't know, our young people went up to Myrtle Beach, about 90 of them. Had an all-night fun time. Most of them slept all day yesterday, and so we pray that they're well-rested for this morning, right? No, thank you so much for being here. My name is Kevin Giordano. I'm the lead pastor here at Charleston Baptist Church, and I'm just excited to and have the privilege of bringing God's Word to us most weeks, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity today. I got to confess, I made some mistakes last week during our announcement time. I mentioned the Two Are Better ministry, also the Forever Young ministry was supposed to meet last week, but I was a week ahead, so they're actually meeting this week. And so all the details will be right there in your bulletin, so if you'd open up your bulletin, you'll see that information there. The Forever Young ministry is specifically for those who are 55 and older. They're going to meet on Wednesday, and then the Two Are Better ministry is for individuals and families that are walking through mental illness. We want to have an awesome time of ministry for those individuals. They meet on Tuesday night, and so you'll see that all in your bulletin. Also, today is an important day for us because we are collecting canned goods for our Bread of Life ministry. Our Bread of Life ministry is a ministry that Charleston Baptist Church has that we can help needs in our community, specifically around food items as well as some spiritual items as well, where we can minister to them, hand out Bibles and different things like that. And so today we are collecting goods for that particular ministry. And so if you have not brought your goods in yet, please do so today. Worst case scenario, if it's next week, we'll take them. So today is, you know, we're not shutting down today, but today we wanted to have an awesome celebration of canned goods. I think our goal was around 1,200 canned goods, and so I pray that we'll not only meet that goal, but exceed it. Tonight, I know many of y'all are probably geared up to watch the Super Bowl, and we have decided as a church to change our regular Sunday night time frame to be at 5 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock tonight. And so we're going to have our interactive Bible study as well as the children's choir and the praise kids time at 5 p.m. And so please make a note of that on our interactive Bible study. We've been walking through a study called The Gospel in Life, Grace Changes Everything. And so we've been walking through that particular series, that study together on Sunday nights, and so I encourage you to be a part of that. This morning, we are going to finish our sermon series called Vision 2018. And so if you are visiting with us or our guest this morning for the very first time, or you have missed one of the Sundays since the beginning of the year, all through the month of January, if you've missed any of those Sundays and you haven't heard those particular messages, I highly encourage you to go to the church website and listen to those particular messages. That way you'll understand where God is moving us as a church together in the future. And so we want to give just a quick recap so you guys can see the buildup, and hopefully you've understood the buildup, that we're starting with the heart before we ever get to any actions. And so the first component of Vision 2018 was the idea of recapture. Really, that's the heart of Vision 2018, that we want to recapture our heart for God, our love for God, our love for the church, the body of Christ, and also our love for the unchurched, those who are apart from Christ, those who don't know Jesus, those who may have heard the word of Jesus or the gospel, but never have responded in faith. The word capture means to be seized by or to be possessed by something or someone. And so the concept of recapture is this, that one thing that used to seize us, that used to captivate us over time, because of distractions or just negligence in our time with the Lord, we begin to fade away from a pure love for the Lord, our pure love for the church, and the pure love that we should have for the mission that God has placed us here for, to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so we began that particular study looking at Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. And out of that passage, we're asking God to search our hearts, to reveal to us the areas of our life that we may not even recognize. And we are going to posture ourselves in a way that, God, we're going to listen to what you tell us. And if there's any place in our life where there is sin, Lord, we are going to confess that sin. We're going to repent of that sin. Why? Because we know where you're leading us. We trust in your ways. And so we are going to submit to your leading. Wherever you go, I will follow. And that leads us to the second key word of Vision 2018, and that was the concept of realign, to realign. And this realignment part is critical because all of that points back to recapture. Everything that we're going to realign as a church, by God's grace through faith, it all points back to the heart of recapture. And so that realignment part looked at three big areas. The focus on intentional relationships, the importance of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the importance of our relationships with one another, connecting in community as a church, and also our relationships with those who don't know Christ. That leads to the growth in global and local missions. We want to expand both local and global missions in Charleston and around the world. In a sense, we want to recapture our identity as a church here in Charleston. Why is it that we exist here in 2018? Why is it that we're here? What is the purpose that God is calling us to? Not just as a full body of Christ, but as individuals. Why is it that you work where you work? Why is it that you go to school where you go to school? Why is it that your doctor's office happens to be in a certain place? That we would have kingdom perspective on why God has us where He has us. And so we want to finish that off with movement towards unity in the body of Christ. Movement towards unity in the body of Christ. And we really looked at two primary passages there. One being in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. The other one being in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And really, those two passages really get the heart of that realignment part. That we want to realign our hearts, our minds, and our actions under those three components of recapture. Our love for God, our love for the church, and our love for the unchurched. And here's what we find. In Ephesians 4, the scripture teaches us this concept of unity, being one. Seven times in those verses, Paul says, man, one, one, one. And the point is this. Church unity and missions go together. When a church is not united on all fronts, missions lacks in many ways. And so we as a church feel the challenge that God has put us on to come together instead of having two distinct styles of service, worship on Sunday mornings, traditional, contemporary, however you want to define those. We want to have unified worship. We'll still have a 9:30 slot, 11 o'clock slot. Lord willing, we'll have additional slots. But at the end of the day, we want to produce what God wants us to produce and do it multiple times. And so everything will look exactly the same throughout those services. And here's the beauty. We're not going to see the effect of that in the next year or the next 2 years. And again, that's going to be a process. That's not happening next Sunday. There's going to be an intentional process that you will be full aware of. As the Lord leads us and guides us, we will communicate that to you. Big picture, 4 years, 5 years down the road, when discipleship begins to grow, when there are multiple opportunities to connect in community that are far beyond Sunday morning, as multi-generations and multi-cultures and multi-ethnics come together in those small groups, we will see the effect of that on our morning worship services. We'll actually look like the church. We will speak like the church. We will act like the church. We will have the heart of the body of Christ that God has given us. And so this is a long process. And so we may not see the immediate effects. Matter of fact, for some, we may not see the effects of that in our own lifetime. But man, we must be kingdom-minded. We must realize that the decisions we make today are not just for our good and for His glory, but they're for the good of the generation that is here now, the generation that is coming up, and ultimately, God gets the glory of that. And so there's going to be a challenge there. I'm excited about that challenge, and we need to do it together. I don't know what it looks like fully, but I know whatever it is, God's going to be awesome. God's going to show up there. And not only is it going to impact us as a body of Christ, but man, it's going to impact our community and it's going to impact our world. And that leads us to our final part of Vision 2018, and that is the concept of remodel. Remodel. The remodel concept really involves two general areas. The first being to decrease debt. To decrease debt. Over the life of this church, the Lord has blessed us through the sacrificial giving of His people. Through the generosity of His people, we have not only reached thousands and thousands of people with the message of the gospel, both locally and globally, but we have had the blessing and the privilege of calling 13 San Miguel our church home. And if you're not familiar with 13 San Miguel, that's where you're at right now, by the way. So if you do a tracking on your phone, this is where you're at. We have some incredible facilities. In fact, not only are our facilities used for us, but specifically on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have a homeschool co-op group called HELP that meets here on Tuesdays and Thursdays where hundreds of kids come and use our facilities, partly because of the quality of our facilities, but also the security that our facilities have. We are truly blessed. But this blessing didn't happen overnight. All of this happened over the span of 30 plus years. It started with this main building. It grew to our what we call family ministry center, which includes the gym, a eating area, and some classrooms. It also expanded most recently to our children's and preschool wing several years ago. And just in case you didn't realize it, expansion is expensive. It's incredibly expensive. And for the past 8 years or so, we have decreased the debt, our loan of construction and all those things, from $2.5 million down to $1.6 million. Partly because of our normal budgeted expenses, we budget some of those items, but also because of extra generous giving by others. In your bulletin, if you open it up and you look at those facts and figures, you'll see something there called Challenge to Grow. You may not know what that means. I'm about ready to tell you. That Challenge to Grow is above the tithe. It's an offering that God has laid on people's hearts to give above the tithe, to give a love offering most consistently, by the way. And that generous gift, that what we call a Challenge to Grow, goes against the interest of that construction loan, that loan that we have. And so I am so excited and so thankful for the giving of God's people. Not only that, not only have we decreased debt, but we've also increased ministry and missions. That's one of the things that our pastors have really challenged ourselves with. How do we do these things without hindering the work of the Lord? How do we do all these components without sacrificing ministry and missions? And so year after year, we have either sustained the ministry mission side or we've actually increased it over the years. And praise God for that. Man, clap. That's a good thing to clap about. Listen, 2007, 2006, 2008, when the economy hit, the Church of God rose up and they gave sacrificially with great generosity. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the sacrifice of many. And as we move forward, we want to continue reducing the debt that we have. The second part of Vision 2018 remodel is this: to increase the function of our current facilities. To increase the function of our current facilities. In other words, at this point in the life of our church, we're not building more buildings. This is what we have right now, and we're going to utilize it for God's glory and our good. And so that means that we need to remodel some of our current setup. The first phase of remodel is going to really focus on this particular building, what we call the sanctuary, so this main building right here. And essentially, we want to reskin a portion of this building. You may not know what reskin means, so I'll tell you a little bit about that. As we think about, again, recapture and realign, all these things go together. We want to redesign specifically the inside of the front of our facilities to where it is a more open environment. It has the potential for people to gather together, to fellowship with together instead of having a bottleneck effect right when you come out these doors. So a lot of those walls are going to be taken out. We want to have a defined connection center where people can connect with a pastor or connect with somebody to lead them in their next step of faith in Christ. If that be they're interested in a small group or missions or they have more questions about baptism or something that happened during the service. And so we want to have a better defined connection area that's easily accessible where people aren't crowded around it, to where we can meet with people and we can connect with people and we can show them what Charleston Baptist Church is about. But most importantly, through that, we want to have an area where people can gather that's a little bit further away from the sanctuary and to have discussion and talk and have some coffee and different things like that. And so right now we are in the beginning processes. We have an architect that's going to help us out. I wish I had some drawings. I don't have those yet. But just envision, you walk in there, you don't see a bunch of walls. You see wide open space with people socializing, getting to know each other, connecting with Jesus and connecting with each other. And so that's one part of that. The other part is we want to do a better job in this back hallway. The doors take up half the hallway when you open them, so we're going to redesign that. We want to make some of our bathrooms a little bit bigger and redesign some of those. Basically, just give a real fresh makeup in the church. Think about it. This facility is over 30 years old. And so we would be foolish to just go and start doing those things today. And so part of that process is we want to bring on a team that's going to do a full evaluation of our building. Plumbing, mechanical, all those different areas to find out what the issues are that we know now so that we can either address those things now or we can put those off if they're not too major and begin the project that we're discussing now. I want this to be a blessing long term for us. It's like when you go to a mechanic to get an oil change. Sometimes they'll give you an $800 estimate of all the other things you need to fix, right? And so you determine out of those $800 what you need done now. Many of you may not know that you're driving in your car right now with no blinker fluid. That may sink in at lunchtime when you bite into that sandwich. You don't have blinker fluid, by the way, so don't let them try to sell you that. But at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. And so we've positioned ourselves last year in 2017. We've already saved over $30,000. This year, as you look at the proposed budget for 2018, which you'll have the opportunity to grab that today right after the services, there's a budget item there called Vision 2018, and there's roughly $47,000 budgeted for that. We know that's not going to cover all the cost of remodeling, but that'll at least help us as we go. And so this morning, I want to remind us of what has been the heart of this church for generations, for decade after decade, generous giving. Now, I know there are probably some of you that whenever you hear a message about giving to a church, you get uncomfortable. But please understand my heart. There's something about worship and giving that God reveals to you in a way that you could not see any other way. And so it's not about you bringing your money to me or to the pastors or even to this church. It's about how God uses the generosity of his people to work through the church into the community, into the world. And so let us pray before we begin. We'll read our passage and then we'll unpack it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your people. I thank you for those who may not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I pray today that through the Holy Spirit of God, not only will souls be saved, but Lord, those who have already professed Christ as their Savior would grow in their faith and their knowledge of you. Lord, I thank you for being such a generous God to us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we unpack your word today, Lord, I pray that you would give us Holy Spirit revelation. Lord, that it would inspire us and empower us to be the disciples that you have created us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." And so the context of this particular passage is the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Corinth. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he is teaching them about giving and being good stewards of your possessions. He's teaching them about money, essentially, and finances. And the way that he teaches them about giving is he gives them an example of another area of churches, and he calls it Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia. And the reason why Paul is writing this portion of the letter to the church in Corinth is because a year earlier, so a year prior to this particular letter, the church in Corinth agreed to take a collection for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was experiencing extreme poverty due to persecution and drought that had overtaken their land. And so a year has passed, and the church in Corinth had lost their desire to fulfill that commitment to support the church in Jerusalem. And so Paul says to the church in Corinth, I want to tell you what I saw in the churches in Macedonia, namely church in Philippi. He says they were very generous in their giving. And the question for us this morning, the big question that we're going to unpack is why? Why was this church, why were these churches so generous in their giving? Well, from this passage, we're going to unpack real briefly five awesome truths concerning generous giving. And the first one is this. Generous giving is from the overflow of grace received. Generous giving is from the overflow of grace received. This means that generous giving is a direct response to one's relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 1, the scripture says, "We want you to know, brothers, and about the what? About the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia." They experienced the generous grace of God. And it was by the grace of God that their hearts were transformed to the point that they saw money, they saw possessions, they saw resources from the perspective of the Lord. In short, the gospel changes everything. When Jesus, by grace through faith, brings you from death to life, He gives you new desires, He gives you new passions. Tonight, Super Bowl night, you're going to see commercial after commercial about you, about feeding the passions of your flesh. Trust me, you will. The gospel has a different desire for you. And that's what this church experienced. They were so in love with Jesus because they experienced the lavish grace of their Lord. You see, generous giving flows out of the transformed heart. And it begs the question for you and I, who has your heart today? When you think about finances, when you think about everything that God has blessed you with. And by the way, everything belongs to Him anyway. He doesn't need what we have. He can have it anytime He wants. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. And the way that He gets at the heart of man is by His grace. And so who has your heart this morning? Second truth that we find in this passage is this. Generous giving is not hindered by difficult circumstances. Generous giving is not hindered by difficult circumstances. We see this in verse 2. The churches in Macedonia were experiencing tremendous difficulties and affliction. It says in verse 2, "For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." It was a rough time for these churches. Things weren't easy for these churches. This wasn't a bunch of mega churches that somehow could just make it happen. These were small communities of faith that were experiencing affliction. The word affliction there means pressure. There was lots of pressure that was put on these churches. The phrase extreme poverty means they were essentially dirt poor. Dirt poor, which many of us in the U.S. have no idea what that feels like. But what I love about this verse is this. We see two things come together that would never come together apart from the power of the gospel. Think about these two phrases. Severe affliction, extreme poverty. And yet, abundance of joy and wealth of generosity. Isn't that amazing? That you have a body of believers who were experiencing severe affliction and extreme poverty, and their response to that, because of the grace that God had shown them, was what? Joy. Abundance of joy. Surplus joy. Overflowing joy. And a wealth of generosity. Now, we don't know for sure what the reasons were on why they were so afflicted, but most people believe that because of persecution, great persecution, that many of those people who professed faith in Jesus Christ, they lost their jobs. And so can you imagine a group of believers who many of the families are wrecked with job loss, essentially. And yet in the midst of that, because of God's grace in their life, the impact that the grace of God made in their life, they took that extreme poverty and that severe affliction and they turned it to, by the grace of God, to abundance of joy and a wealth of generosity. You see, when you have experienced the grace of God in your life, you will not use difficult circumstances as an excuse for not giving. But that's our tendency, isn't it? Our tendency is to say, well, it's just not a good time for us right now. I'll never forget, Sarah, just a little story for Julie and I. Back in 2011, it was a great year, but it was a very difficult year. In 2011, we were blessed with our son, Eli. which had some difficulties that we had to walk through, things that we didn't know because of the situation that he was born with. At the same time, I didn't lose, but we chose not to move. My job here closed down, and they gave us an option to move away, and we said no. And so we essentially let go of a job that paid over $100,000 a year. That was our only income. We were on our way to Christmas, essentially. I had a job to my name of $6,000. It was an intern position here, by the way. And a good friend of mine, John Cooper, who's right there, hired me on to work as a mill worker who had no experience. I just made him laugh, and so he paid me for making him laugh. But God really blessed us even in that time. And I'll never forget, it was right around Christmas time, and a need arose in a Sunday school class. The Sunday school class that I was leading at the time. And Julie and I prayed about it, and we said, man, the Lord's telling us to meet that need. We don't know how, but we're going to meet that need. Well, the next day, the very next day, a family in our church calls us right after service and says, we need to come by your house today. And we said, okay, you can come on by. They blessed us financially with a little bit more than what it took us to bless the other family financially. Now, the motivation, that's key. The motivation wasn't, let's give to them so somebody will give back to us. That wasn't the motivation. The motivation was, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for being with us through this difficult time. And we want to bless this family. And in so doing, the Lord showed us a greater blessing by using another family in this church without our knowledge to bless us. And so ask yourself this question. Is your lack of desire for generous giving related to the circumstances that you find yourself in today? Go back to the grace of God. The gospel teaches us something entirely different. That leads us to a third truth. The third truth is this. Generous giving is proportional, sacrificial, and it's from a willing heart. It's proportional, sacrificial, and it's from a willing heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3, it says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. Paul says, everyone doesn't have the same capacity to give. That's what he means there by according to their means. That's the word proportional. And sometimes they gave sacrificially. That's where he says, beyond their means. That means it doesn't match up on paper. Have you ever been there before? Where you looked at the money coming in and the expenses that you had, and your desire is to honor the Lord and live for the Lord and love the Lord and be generous in your giving, and those numbers don't match up, but somehow, some way, through the power of the gospel, all the ends get met. All the ends get met. And they did it willingly, without being coerced. That's what that phrase there, their own accord. Paul says, I have firsthand knowledge of their giving. I've seen it with my own eyes. The scripture implies that everyone was generous in their giving. This wasn't a group of people who engaged in the community of God with the mindset of, what's in it for me? That wasn't their posture. Everyone who called that local church body home, they gave. And they gave generously. Generous giving isn't based on what you have. It's based on the very condition of your heart. Some of the most generous people in the church are those who, by the world standards, don't have a whole lot. But yet they are extremely, extremely generous. Generosity combats the parts of our hearts that want selfishness and greed. All of us have it somewhere, by the way. Sometimes we can hide it better. But all of us have a temptation towards selfishness and greed, and generous giving combats that temptation. I'll give you an example. Some of y'all relate. Mom and dad are trying to eat better, so they go to Chick-fil-A. They're in the drive-thru window and they get whatever salad is the least calories. Of course, the kiddos don't want no salad. What do they want? They want chicken nuggets and they want them fries, right? And so you feel good about your salad. And between the getting of their food in your hand and reaching back and giving it to your child with the other hand, you get a real good whiff of what? Not that salad, by the way. The French fries. And so in your moment of white knuckling that steering wheel, and of course, dad or mom ain't there too for accountability. Hey, sweetie, give me one of them French fries. What's their response? Sometimes. No. No. Here's the point. Here's what they forgot in that moment. One, you're the one that provided it, right? Two, you didn't really need theirs because you had a little bit of jingle in your pocket. You could have bought your own fries. Three, you could take it anytime you wanted by brute force if you wanted to. And hopefully you've never done that. And most importantly, if they truly knew how much you loved them, they would gladly give it back. Man, that's the same thing between us and our Lord. God owns everything. He doesn't need anything that we can give Him. He could take it at any time. But if we truly knew how much He loved us, we would gladly give it back. And so the next time your kid tells you no, remember that illustration. That maybe God is trying to teach us something in that moment. Number four, generous giving connects God's blessings to God's eternal purposes in the world. Generous giving connects God's blessings to God's eternal purposes in the world. And that's the beauty of this passage. Paul wasn't guilting these people into giving. Paul wasn't preaching his 18th message in a sermon series on giving. He wasn't doing that. No, Paul gave them an opportunity to give, and they couldn't wait to give. Listen to the language. Verse 4, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Their heart understood this, that they did not want to fixate their minds and their actions on the temporal things of life, but they had kingdom perspective. They wanted to invest in God's kingdom, and they wanted to invest in the people of that kingdom. They trusted God with their resources. And as a result, it impacted the people around them. The primary reason why you and I are embarking on the journey of Vision 2018 remodel is not for the purpose of remodeling a building. It's for the purpose of connecting people with people and ultimately connecting those people with Jesus Christ. And when we give here, ultimately we aren't giving to a church. We are giving through a church that invests in God's kingdom activity, both locally and globally. When you give here, you're an active participant in what God is doing in our community and around the world. We are committed to the gospel, and we want to reach as many people as we possibly can for the purpose of the gospel. When we give, we invest into the lives of the generations that are here now and the generations that are to come through ministries like Bread of Life, Two or Better, Low Country Pregnancy Center, Mentoring in Schools, Low Country Biblical Counseling Center, Water Missions International, Local Missions, State Missions, Global Missions. Paul is speaking to this church. He's given an example of this church, and that church wanted to be a part of it. They felt privileged. God's grace not only frees us from our sins, it frees us from ourselves. So often we want to hold the resources that God has blessed us with so tightly that it squashes out abundance of joy. They were privileged to share in the ministry. Do you feel privileged to share in the ministry here at Charleston Baptist Church? That leads us to the last one. Generous giving is ultimately an act of worship. Generous giving is ultimately an act of worship. Sometimes in the life of a church, specifically on Sunday morning worship, you see things compartmentally. All right, I'm going to worship with music, right? And then I'm going to listen to a message, and then possibly I'll respond to that message, and then there's an offering that's going to take place, and then we're going to sing another song and we're going to go home. But worship was good because I liked the songs. Or worship wasn't good because I didn't like the songs. You ever been there before? Everything's worship. Everything. Everything that happens in here, everything that happens out in your life, wherever you stroll, all of that is an act of what? It's an act of worship. In verse 5, Paul says, "And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us." Paul says they gave over and beyond more than I had ever expected. God's grace can motivate us to do things we believe are what? Impossible. And yet, God's grace can do the very things we aren't willing to do in our own strength. Amen? That's what he does. The word first here doesn't mean first in time, it means first in priority. The point was their giving was a demonstration of who they really worshiped. They had given their lives to Christ. They had given their affections to Christ. They had given their desires and their joys to Christ. And they were so wrapped up in him that one of the byproducts is their resources, their finances followed right behind it. For them, the answer was yes. Whatever it is, Lord, yes. And this is important because I know there are some here this morning who want to be generous givers, but your mind is taking you on a road that it's somewhere out there. It's somewhere down the road for me. When X happens, when I get this paid off, when I replace this with that, then I will be a generous giver. If that's the posture of your heart, let me just teach you something that I've learned in my life. There will always be something to postpone generous giving. There will always be an obstacle in the way of being a generous giver. You see, the way you spend, save, and give your money truly reveals who and what has your heart. Worship can be defined as how we respond to that which we love the most. Worship's not just about singing. Worship involves all areas of your life. How you think, how you act, and certainly how you give. This church gave themselves to Christ, and by God's grace, their giving followed. Let's close with this. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean and the praise team to come up. I begin to ask myself this question. Why is generous giving such a struggle for us as believers? You may be sitting here this morning and maybe asking that same question. Why in general is generous giving such a struggle for many of us? Well, just a couple points I want to make, and that'll lead us into our response time. First and foremost, has your heart ever been transformed by the grace of God? Have you given yourself to Him? I'm not asking if you come to church every Sunday. I'm not even asking you if you tithe. Because sometimes we can give to the Lord with the wrong motive. We can give it with the wrong motive. And so the question is, does God have your heart? If God doesn't have your heart, today's message really isn't about what you do with the offering plate. It's about what you're going to do with the Lord. Are you willing to surrender your life to the Lord? Number two, the second reason generous giving is so hard for people is because even as believers, our hearts can shift, can't it? Over time, our hearts can shift from worship of God to worship of ourselves. We want what we want. That's why Jesus says you can't serve two masters. And so the question for you this morning is, which master are you serving? The third reason why giving is a struggle is we lose sight of the grace of God. I love what verse 9 says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." That is the gospel, right there in verse 9. The King of glory with infinite wealth laid it all aside. He took on humanity. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. All of that for you. So that you and I, for eternity, forever, can enjoy and experience the riches of His grace. That is the gospel. Have you lost sight of that? Have you compartmentalized giving is this and everything else is that? It's all about worship. And so this morning, as you stand and sing and respond to Him, ask yourself, does the Lord truly have my heart? Have I truly surrendered to Him? Have I professed faith in Christ, or am I just going through the motions? For you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, has it been something that you've been distracted on? That you no longer have a desire to give because you're more focused on yourself? You're serving a different master. Or maybe for you, you've forgotten about the riches of His grace that was lavished on us, not just at salvation when He forgave us of our sins, but through the process of growing more and more into the image of Christ as He continues to give us His grace today, tomorrow, and forever. Whatever you need to do to respond to Him in faith, I please stand and sing to Him, respond in faith to Him, however it is. The altar is open for you to pray. Let us stand and sing.